Welcome to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I'm joined by Christ Fellowship Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Christian Fellowship Pastor Mark Wyatt. We are back for season two of our podcast, and that means we're kicking off a brand new sermon series called Seven Big Questions. So many people have questions about faith, God, and life. And every Sunday morning, we're going to cover one of the seven most common ones. But we'd also like to hear your questions. So we're inviting people to send them in each week, and we'll respond to them on the podcast. So get ready to hear responses to questions asked this week, and maybe you'll have a question you'd like to ask us for next.
And we're back.
It feels so good to be back.
It feels so good to be back. The whole gang is here. Mark's here. Jaime's here. Bruce is here. And
Lisa's here.
And Lisa's here. Applause.
By the grace of God, Lisa is also here. So if you were with us last year for the season one of our Pastor's Pregame Podcast, you know, you heard us talking about taking a hiatus, and the guys made fun of me for using a big word like hiatus. But we were supposed to take a little summer break. It was not supposed to be this long. But I just got out of the hospital 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, when we say welcome back, Lisa, we really mean that, because you've not only been not in doing the podcast, you haven't been in the office. In fact, you've been mainly in the hospital.
I have been. I spent 3 months in hospitals and rehabs trying to get well. I had a massive infection in my spinal column that has caused some nerve damage and some caused me to have my kidney shut down. So I am still recovering from all of that.
Well, we are super grateful that you're here on the podcast.
Yes,
praise
indeed.
Praise the Lord. I am walking around now again. I am able to sit with the guys and talk. And
that's really miraculous.
No,
really
is. Here. God deserves all the
it's
glory.
It's an answer to prayer.
It's literally a miracle that, I'm alive and not permanently in a wheelchair. So... But, you know, this is the first time I'm a little rusty, so we'll see how things go with all this. But we are so happy to be back with the Pastor's Pregame. We're excited. We're excited that you're joining us. We know we probably have some new listeners, and we're really excited about that. And you've probably come because you've heard about our new sermon series, which is called The Seven Big Questions. So, Bruce, I'm going to ask you, why are we doing this sermon series? What's it all about?
Yeah, these questions are some of the most asked questions on the internet when you do Google searches about most asked questions about faith and God and purpose. And these days, it's not just people who are unbelievers, non-believers who are asking these questions. Quite a few Christians these days are using phrases like, I'm deconstructing my faith.
Yeah.
And by that, what they mean is, I'm just not sure I believe it anymore. Like, I was raised in this stuff, but is it really true or not?
Yeah. So this is incredibly relevant. And we've just picked seven questions. We recognize these are not the only seven questions out there. There are a lot of other things that people have doubts about and cause a lot of questions in their mind about their faith. But our hope is, first of all, to strengthen the faith of believers out there. And I'm calling these question and response sessions, because I don't want to pretend like we have all the answers. I think
absolutely not. I think that's, like you said, Lisa, there's Christians who have these questions, and yet there's a hesitation to say, I have this question in a church. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to somehow look like a bad Christian if I say, I'm not sure the Bible really is true or that God exists. And yet we want to create a safe place to say, hey, we all... Honestly, you know, every one of us, at least sometime in our lives, have asked these questions, and usually more than once, questions like these have circled into our minds.
Well, and if you haven't asked them, someone's probably going to ask them
you.
Yep.
And that's the other thing we want to do, is we want to also give you a little confidence when you're talking to people and having meaningful conversations, not to be afraid to tread on this ground. And we're not saying you have to be an expert in these in answering every question. We're not. some of us are more experienced than others. But we want to create a place where other people feel free to ask questions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whether it be your kids as they hit teenage and college age years, or whether it's a friend at work who's like, I don't know, do you really believe the Bible is like, lots of these questions will come up in life, and we want you to feel a little more confident in being able to know why you believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to be incredibly sensitive, because we have taken questions, people on Sunday were able to text in their questions to us. And we invite you to continue to do that. We're going to do this sort of open format question and response for the entire series, 7 weeks. So, you know, it's not too late now to go ahead and text in your question.
Yeah, we have a phone number you can text your questions into, or you can text them into our, on our social media on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Fellowship. And
yeah, we want to hear. And so we want to get these questions in, and then we want to just take the time to sort of respond to them. And we recognize, though, that we don't, we're not sitting across from you having a cup of coffee and answering these questions. So we don't know exactly where you're at. So we also want to be sensitive to the fact that sometimes these questions come from a place of real pain and real questioning and real doubt and anxiety. So we want to be sensitive to that. But we also want to tell you from our own experience and our own investigation of the Bible. And Bruce, of course, is, you know, well-versed in philosophy and all this kind of stuff. And we want to be able to give you some responses that we hope will be helpful. So let's start with mine. I had a couple of follow-up questions from your...
Not surprising.
So a couple of questions I have, and then we're going to launch into the questions that people have sent us through the text number and then on social media. You can text your questions. I have the number right here to 469-717-6440. And I'm also going to put that in the show notes so that you don't, in case you're, you know, driving and can't write that down right this minute. But we do want to invite you to send your questions. So there are 7 big questions that we're covering. And the first one that you talked about, Bruce, was, does life have a purpose? Is there meaning in life? Is there a purpose in life? And what is amazing is, as relevant and as now and as modern as that question feels, it's actually a very ancient question. And there's actually a book in the Bible, an old book in the Bible in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. And the author is asking this question, is there anything meaningful in life? And he declares that it's meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Or if you know the King James, it's vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And so, Bruce, you address that question in Sermon 1. And the teacher, who we think is probably Solomon, who wrote the book, phrases it this way. He says, there's nothing under the sun. I asked this of under the sun. So what is the distinction that he's making, do you think, between under the sun and then is there something beyond that?
Yeah, I really do think that he's looking at when Solomon, presumably Solomon, says under the sun, he's looking at life on this earth as we see it, kind of what's physical and visible. And if you just look at life in this world, it's meaningless. When he pursues pleasure and making money and everything he can envision, he keeps saying under the sun 30 times in the book. Which I think there's a hint there, although he doesn't say it, that could there be something above the sun?
Mm-hmm. For him, it was he pursued all these things and found them not to give him a sense of satisfaction. Is that what we're talking about? When we're talking about meaning, is that what we're talking about, Jaime? Is like a sense of like, my life has purpose, my life has satisfaction?
Yeah.
And why do you think that's so hard for people to find?
Well, because we all want to feel that we're making a difference. We all want to make things matter. And who we want to believe that my life is more, has worth more than a mosquito, than bacteria.
Yeah.
And so there has to be more than what I'm living here under the sun. There has to be something more. There's this sense of wanting your life to have purpose. Purpose means that it has an objective, that it has there's a goal for it. Well, what's the goal of my life? I thought it was to get the degree, have a nice white picket fence, and make money and be able to retire. But you know what? People have done those things and have come to the conclusion it's not quite fulfilling. So I have this huge 401k to retire, but yet what's the objective purpose? What's the goal of my life? And meaning, there's this thing, sense that we need to have something more than just that.
Yeah.
Of life has more meaning and purpose than just those things.
Yeah, just under the sun, things yeah. under the sun, things that are tangible, things that you can collect and feelings and experiences you can have just don't quite feel like enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think most people living out in McKinney and Anna and Collin County, what do you think they they have a sense of, if they have a sense of purpose at all, if they've ever reflected on this question, what do you think they're trying to live for?
I think that's, I think we're at a crisis of meaning in our society today. Like we find in Ecclesiastes, if Solomon, taking in that he has wrote this, you're chasing your tail by whether it be pleasure or your work or knowledge or accomplishment. Those things in and of themselves don't bring a lasting sense of meaning because they're under the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so people are looking for that and they don't find that satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's where the next question comes in is, does God exist? H.G. Wells had put it this way. He said, if God doesn't exist, then nothing matters. But if God does exist, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
So those two questions are really, and I think Solomon is actually driving in that direction because he went to every avenue.
Yeah.
And ultimately people are doing what you said. Hey, when they find out, if you arrive at success and your white picket fence, you still got to mow the lawn, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So Ecclesiastes is a great book. It's almost like a sitting around a table, and it's like if you've ever had a really good professor who throws out these questions that force you to think, that's what reading Ecclesiastes is like, because you're like, wait, he's not supposed to be, this is not supposed to be in the Bible.
Hey, well, yeah.
He asks the really tough questions, and so I think that's great. I mean, it reminds me all over again just how relevant the Bible is, because here we are thousands of years later, people are still asking those questions, and here we live in Collin County where the majority of people are healthier, have more money, more success, more stability, all the things that you would think would give you a happy, productive, meaningful life. A lot of us in Collin County have those things, but yet we're still high in anxiety and depression and addiction and feeling lonely and isolated.
Right.
And so it's like, where, how are we missing the boat here? We've all been chasing the American dream and being pretty successful at it.
Right.
Yet we're still not finding that meaning.
That satisfaction. And probably in human history,
we
have been at that place more than anybody in human history.
For sure.
To have that. And yet that angst is still there.
Definitely.
We are not just material beings. Yeah. We're not just, oh, Bruce, how did you put it? Fertilizer.
Yeah. Grade A fertilizer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, God has put eternity in our hearts, right? That we know there's something more that this life can't satisfy. Well, that's kind of a little background of where we've been. So let's dive into some of the questions we got from our the audience at church and on social media and people who are interested in this sermon. Now, we're not going to get to all the questions that are sent in. So if you sent in a question, and we just got so many, I was really happy. I'm so glad you guys took the time to ask your questions. It's fantastic. But we probably will not get to all of them this week, but we're keeping a running list. So we will get to them. This is kind of the crux of the issue. How can we be sure there is something that is above the sun? So we talked about how Solomon sort of said, okay, everything under the sun, but how do we know that there is something beyond the sun? Bruce, what do you think?
I think it's a great question. And like you said, Lisa, we don't have all the answers to these questions. And part of the realization that I shared in the sermon, and by the way, if you missed the sermon, they're on YouTube, you can catch them, is that we have limitations as humans in what we can know. And so that word sure is an important word. How can we be sure there's something above the sun? Well, how sure do you mean? Like if we were in a conversation, if I could be talking with you, whoever asked this question, you know, do we have absolute certainty? Well, we're not God. And so we can't know comprehensively. What I mean is we can't know everything. We're not omniscient. And then we can't know absolutely with complete certainty. Only God knows that. We're humans. But is it, I would rephrase it, is it reasonable that there's something above the sun?
Yeah.
Is it rational? Not just possible, but is it reasonable? And that's really the question we're going to address next Sunday is there a God? Is there not? How can we know? How sure can we be that by something above the sun, I mean God, that there's something above the sun, meaning
something transcendent, something transcendent, eternal, something beyond just this material world.
Yeah, beyond this material world or what's on earth that we experience right here.
Well, and there's different kinds of knowing, right? And I think that's important too. There's scientific kind of knowing mm-hmm. where you can actually test and prove something, but that's a very limited section right. of what we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that my husband loves me. Can I prove it mathematically? Well, obviously mm-hmm. not, but he has demonstrated mm-hmm. that through his actions. So there's all different types of knowing. And so I think if you get too skewed into assuming, like I watched a lot of Big Bang Theory in the hospital because it seems to always be on the reruns. And
it's an awesome show.
It is. It's a very funny show. And I was like, wow, I kind of forgot how funny this was. But, you know, there's a group of scientists and Sheldon, of course, is the, you know, a physicist and an incredibly intelligent human, but also just really limited. Like if you can't prove it mathematically, he's just not willing to believe it. But, you know, eventually through the course of the series, he does find meaning, more meaning in his life through his relationships with other people. Hmm. So I think we have to be careful about how we define knowing. But that's a great question.
Well, C.S. Lewis kind of put it this way. He said, you know, I hunger, and therefore it makes reasonable sense that food exists. Mm. I long for something that's beyond me. That is not like a projection. Mm-hmm. For him, that meant that there was evidence that those things existed that he longed for.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really mm-hmm. good point. Okay. Next question. This kind of speaks to the meaning of, to the idea of purpose and the idea of going after things that you want and things that you find meaningful. And this questioner asks, does God give us all the desires of our hearts? So if we say, okay, God, I'm trying to build a meaningful life here, and here's what I need. Mm-hmm. I need, you know, the 401k. I need the stable marriage. I need the obedient kids. I need, you know, the financial stability. I need those. Those are the desires of my heart, and I need you to give them to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that's the exact vein this person asked this question in, but that's one way we can take it. So is that what God is supposed to do? Is we're supposed to say, okay, here's what I need for a meaningful life for me. Now God's supposed to provide that. Is that what the Bible promises us?
No, I don't think so. I don't think God is a genie in a bottle where we can, or a vending machine where we could simply say, God, this is what I want. I think God has definitely promised to care for us. He said that he'll take care. If he takes, Jesus said in Matthew that if God takes care of the birds and provides for the flowers in the field and the birds, he's going to provide and care for us. And many times we get those needs and those wants mixed up, and we end up desiring things that may not be beneficial. There are a lot of things my kids want that they may not need right. or may harm them also, and so God knows what we need and what's best for us. And so it depends on what that desire is.
Yeah, sure.
It might be that if you ask this question, maybe you're thinking about Psalm 37:4 that says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. And the question is, does he do that? Because it sure seems like he doesn't. I'm sure he has not given you all the desires of your heart or all my desires. Certainly not the case. And when you look at the Psalms are what's called wisdom literature. And wisdom literature is saying what are generally proverbially true, but it's not an ironclad promise mm-hmm. that God will give you every desire of your heart. Secondly, the verse starts with take delight in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when you take delight in the Lord and your desires are his desires, he gives you those desires. But as you said, I mean, so many of our desires are really not good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like when your little children ask you for something that's not, you know.
A candy all day.
Can I play with fire? Day. I want to play with fire.
Yeah. Can I play with fire? I'm 3 years old. Can I have that knife? No. You know, God knows what really is good for mm-hmm. us
yeah.
that we don't know and could never see. His ways are far above our ways.
Well, and I mean, and this question could be asked by someone who's like, I've always wanted to get married. Marriage mm-hmm. is good. It's depicted as good. Mm-hmm. in the Bible. It seems like something that is a good thing for people, and God has never given me a spouse. So how would you respond to someone who, if that's where they're coming from with this question?
I would say this life is full of disappointment. And in a fallen world, that's common, that's universal.
Mm-hmm.
All of us experience that in this kind of a world, that people don't meet up to our expectations. We don't live up to our expectations. Things don't work out the way you wish they did. For Jesus in his life, he experienced a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulties.
And disappointment.
A lot of disappointment. Mm-hmm. Other people who let him down. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, even for you, Lisa, I mean, the experience that you just went through, I mean, that was probably not...
It was disappointing.
I'm guessing it wasn't the desire of your heart.
It wasn't the desire of your heart.
No.
We don't know exactly why that happened. Mm-hmm. We're so glad that you have come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that may be a head scratcher.
Yeah, and I may not know ever.
Right.
And God may give me insight in this life or the next as to why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not.
Right.
But it really does shake down your priorities to think, is it my desires I'm after? Is that what gives me a meaningful life? Is having what I think I want and what I need, or what I think I need, is that what gives me a meaningful life? Or is it pursuing God and his purposes that gives me a meaningful life?
Right.
And I think for me, you have to at some point surrender to the idea that, okay, if God truly is love, and we're going to, as you go through the series, I think each answer to each question strengthens the previous one.
Yes.
And I think as we move through this and we recognize that God loves us and sent his son to redeem us and has done everything necessary to bring us back into a right relationship with him, that kind of God, I just have to yield to and say, well, I'm trusting you in this. I don't have the answers. I don't know why, but I'm trusting you in this because Jesus has shown me that it's worth getting to, it's worth knowing him. You know, I'm counting it all loss except for the surpassing joy of knowing Christ. And I'm not saying I feel that way every day. There were definitely some times, some dark nights in the hospital where that's the last, I didn't feel that at all. So if you're in the place out there where you don't feel that, you're not alone.
Right.
But I have to, that's part of walking in faith is right there. It's trusting the things that aren't seen and aren't experienced right here, right now.
Right.
But knowing that God is still a God of love.
And it needs to be okay for you to be able to say that.
Yeah. I hope
that's,
it is
that's
okay
real.
As I sit here with these pastors,
you know, hey, and people
we're judging you right now,
hardcore judging me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does. And I think we need, that's just a really good point too, Mark, as you're sitting across having meaningful conversations with people, be real sensitive to where they're at.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I wanted at certain points in my journey in the last few months is someone coming in there and going, oh, count it all joy. And, you know, God has a plan and all things work together for good. And it's like, as I'm lying there in pain, not knowing if I'm going to regain use of my right hand ever again, that really wasn't the thing I needed to hear. And so even though it's true.
Yeah, platitudes are often not helpful, even biblical truths. It's not always the right moment.
Right.
I think that's been so important, Lisa, saying that it's not that we're saying that the Bible is not good or those verses aren't true.
They're so true.
It's having the wisdom, the emotional intelligence, spiritual wisdom to know what does a person need at a certain moment in time in what they're going through, what they're experiencing. And with these questions, that's one of the things we're feeling right now is we don't know where you're coming from right now. And we're trying to answer your questions, but we're aware we might be missing because we don't know really what all you're going through. We're just seeing a few words on a text.
Right.
And so we want you to know we have a heart for you. We care about you and what you're going through right now. How hard the questions are, or what you where you currently are in your life journey and your walk with God, and
we hope that if you want to talk further, we're all available.
That's right.
Let's make that clear. That we're not just here voices on a podcast. We're real people. We're sitting at 2801 Orchid in McKinney,
that's
Texas,
right.
And we're here. And we we'd be happy to speak to you one on one. Okay, well, let's move on. This is another question, I think, that comes from a place that sounds, at least from these, like you said, Bruce, few words on a text screen, sound heartfelt. which is, could God lose? It appears in the world that evil is winning. Is that an illusion? Is it true for this world, but not for our ultimate home with God after we leave this earth? A false premise? Sometimes I get confused and scared. And I think we can all relate to that. Sometimes things that are happening out there in the world just seem overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's things that are happening on the news or things that are happening in right there in your own home. Could God lose? Could this all end up badly? Could this all end badly?
Especially right now where we're so aware or access to evil is so easy right now. I mean, I could get 24-hour news on my cell phone. I could get the latest tragedy alert and I purposely have to go into my phone and turn off all these alerts that all these apps start showing up. It's really easy to get overwhelmed by all the evil that is out there and to have to know about it. But scripture does tell us in the New Testament that we live in a fallen world where Satan and his realm is active and causing harm. But God is patiently waiting for many people to hear the good news of the gospel through his children and as we proclaim his gospel, so that many can come to faith, so many can believe. And so there's this sense of the tension of, yes, there's evil happening, but God is being patient before he comes and judges and makes all things that are wrong right. There's this space that we're living in right now, and he will make all things right, and he will win. God will send his son Jesus to come back and make all these wrongs into rights and establish a new earth where he will be king.
I think that's so true. I mean, so important to remember. And it does sometimes look like evil's winning. Mm-hmm. And in a localized particular context, sometimes evil is winning in a certain situation and moment. It's not an illusion. You know, you who asked this question, mm-hmm. you're seeing it correctly. But I want to assure you, it's not only that God will win in our ultimate home, but, Jaime, as you mentioned, which is amazing, is that our ultimate home is actually back on this earth.
That's right.
Because God is going to bring heaven to earth. Jesus is coming to earth. And so heaven and earth will once again be united in God's kingdom, where there will be peace and mm-hmm. justice. And that's not a false promise. It's not a false premise. It's real. But I understand sometimes getting confused and scared. And mm-hmm. I think most all of us do get confused and scared. I'm sure in the hospital, you know, as you were saying, Lisa, you felt that way more than once. And like mm-hmm. you say, Jaime, the news feels like at any given moment, there's three or four natural disasters yeah. around the world, a flood and a hurricane and a fire all at one time.
Yeah.
And at least it's not happening to the same people at one time, but it's happening on our phone all at the same time.
And we're emotionally affected by it.
That's right.
You know, all coming at us. In that sort of fire hose way that news comes at us now.
That's right. And we hit that, you know, we feel that a lot. In days gone by, you wouldn't know all of these things at once. But I think, too, it's what's comforting to me is that if Jesus is risen from the dead, that is a foretaste of greater things to come. It's not just, okay, we're going to go to heaven. That's true. Mm-hmm. But he is being victorious ultimately over the fallenness mm-hmm. of the entire world, universe. And that only in Christianity do we have that ultimate hope that evil will ultimately be vanquished.
Yeah.
And all the things that have been hurtful to so many of our listeners, if we're in Christ, those tragic things that we don't understand, that one day those will be undone.
And every wrong will be made right. And every tear will be wiped away.
That's only in Jesus that you get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll talk about this in later weeks about why we point to the resurrection. And as Christians, we point to that resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Christ, mm-hmm. because that gives us evidence. That's a foretaste mm-hmm. of what all of creation will one day experience.
Right. And that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I just think in the long span of eternity, the suffering that we endure in this life and the evil that has felt like it was winning is going to be such a blip. Okay, this is kind of related. As we think about, this is our last couple of questions and we're going to wrap up here, but as we think about how do we find that meaning and purpose? So we've talked about how, you know, the Bible really points us to finding that meaning and purpose in God, in his meaning and purpose for us, not in something that we just construct for ourselves, but how do we know the difference? And so one of our audience members or congregants, one of our folk asked the question, I always feel like my faith isn't strong enough when I question God's plan. How do you know when you're really following God's plan and not my own? And then related to that is, how do I know when I'm hearing God's voice or just my own thoughts? So how do we kind of discern God's purpose for us? That's a good application question to wrap up on. Easy, easy softball question. Go ahead, Jaime.
Well, God has already revealed his plan for us. I think let me backtrack. Sometimes we make God's will some mysterious thing that is unknown and yeah, but I need to know what God's will for my life is. Well, it's already in scripture. God has revealed his will, his desires in scripture, in the Bible. And if when we are living the word of God, and when we're following and obeying him, you're in God's will. You're in God's plan. I know that they want more specifics, like who do I marry and what job do I take? And, you know, those type of questions. But God has also given us free will to be able to make those choices inside of his will. Like, for instance, an example would be, well, who do I marry? Well, what does God say about who you should marry? I think there's only one verse, guys, Lisa, you tell me, that in the New Testament says on what God says about who we marry. And it says that he or she needs to be a believer, right? I think that's about it. The rest, I get to choose if he or she meets the requirements that I guess that I would put for a spouse. Mm-hmm. But the will is revealed in scripture. And so I think we sometimes make it a little bit more difficult than what it should be. Because God has said, here's how you ought to live. And it's in scripture. I know how difficult at times it is applying it in our lives.
Yeah, and just using that wisdom. What do you think, Bruce? How do you, someone comes in and goes, should I marry person X? What do you say?
Absolutely. No. No, I think Jaime's right. You look at the scripture, and the scripture does give principles that apply to every decision in our lives. Mm-hmm. But often don't give specific direct action. You should marry Judy. Mm-hmm. Is not in there. But there are principles that you can bring to bear on any decision in your life. You pray about those things, and you read the scripture, and then you seek wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Proverbs says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, mm-hmm. and so you go to ask wise people, what do you think I should be doing here? Mm-hmm. To help you try mm-hmm. to figure out, am I really looking for what God's will is, God's plan, or my own plan? Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you get really honest with yourself, you realize, no, I'm really just going for what I want. And then other times,
and maybe short-term gain, not long-term.
Right. Yeah. And so looking at the scripture prayerfully and then seeking wise counsel can help you differentiate mm-hmm. between really what God's plan is and what your plan is.
And I think, you know, Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right, to be our comforter, or, you know, to lead us, to guide us, to be our advocate. And so we have to trust that that is true mm-hmm. and that he has sent the Holy Spirit and that we do have the Holy Spirit in us. It's promised that he is there. And so when you act in prayerful, when you're prayerful and you act in that prayerful way, then I think you have to trust that God is leading you. Mm-hmm. And some people get more of a sense of that than others. You know, I know people that feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, spoke to me today. And, you know, I think you always have to be careful, judge that against scripture, judge mm-hmm. that against wise counsel. If you feel like the Holy Spirit is leading you in a certain direction, trust that God is leading you because he said he would.
I think it's, you know, things that we pursue, things that God has definitely revealed us. We're to seek his kingdom. We're to have his priorities in life. Mm-hmm. We're to set our minds and our hearts and things above where Christ is seated. If we're moving in the direction that he's called us to, I think that makes that part a lot easier mm-hmm. to know that's in the realm. And if we're trusting in him, he's going to direct our paths, even if we make mistakes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I someone told me once when I was in college and I was wrestling with this question. I think that's something when you're at that age, you really wrestle with. It's like, what is God's plan for my life? And she's like, well, if you're really walking with the Lord, then do what you want and trust that he has given you that desire of your heart. Then instead of you asking him for the desires of your heart that you came up with yourself, trust that he's given you that desire and that you're fulfilling it. But you got to be walking with him. Like Jaime said, let's go back to the main point here.
Right.
You got to be walking with the Lord. You've got to be being obedient. You got to be confessing your sin and really being conscious of what are my motives here? What am I really pursuing? Is my purpose in life to build myself up, or is my purpose in life to build the kingdom up? And if your purpose, it's like an arrow, right? When you fire an arrow, if you're firing at the right target, then you're going the right direction. And if your arrow is to hit the kingdom of God with your life, then God's going to help you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been given everything we need for a godly life.
Yeah, that's what he promises.
And it's not mysterious or something, but it's there.
And there is such richness in meaning, right? I mean, I think all of us would agree that it hasn't been easy being a Christian, walking with the Lord for our lives. Sometimes it's very difficult, and sometimes we don't understand, and we ask why, but it's the best way to find that meaning. There's something immensely satisfying in walking with the Lord and pursuing the kingdom and loving people. And, you know, even in the hospital, that's one thing I tried to do is I tried to be an encouragement to the people around me. I was like, I'm laying in this bed. I can't move. I can't do anything, but you know what? There are a lot of doctors and nurses and techs and radiologists and, you know, lab technicians that come in to see me. So what can I do in just this moment to encourage them in their day and in a hard job that they may have? And so when your focus is on that, even as just a person lying in a bed, hospital bed, not doing great things for the world, not changing the world, but just maybe helping someone get through their day. That was my purpose. And that gave me some satisfaction.
Right.
As hard as things were.
Yeah. And that, we would all say, that is God's will for your life.
Right.
You're loving your neighbor.
Loving my neighbor. Yes.
That was not a mystery.
Yeah, no. And I think, like Jaime said, sometimes we try to make it more complicated than it needs to be. So I think as we close up today, you know, that could be our encouragement to you. Who can you love today? Mm-hmm. Who can you share the love of Christ with? That's God's purpose. That's where you're going to find meaning, is in loving God and loving others. And it's the simplest thing in the world and the hardest thing to do.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, any last thoughts, guys? We got for you a few questions. We've got a bunch more lined up.
I just say keep asking your questions and don't be afraid of the doubts. Don't be afraid of the questions. Run to them. Ask them. We shouldn't be afraid of the truth, wherever they lead you. And so we invite you through this whole series to be continuing to ask your questions. And we're sure our answers today didn't fully satisfy. They don't fully satisfy us. But we believe that by asking the questions, that we are getting closer to truth and closer to God.